In the Catholic Church, Lent is a time of giving, of penitence, and fasting. It is a time in which we are called to look deeply within ourselves to try to participate in some little way in the Lord's passion and suffering. My colleague Chris Altieri sat down with Cardinal James Francis Stafford, the Church's major penitentiary, for a talk about how, during Lent, we Catholics participate in Christ's passion, preparing for his resurrection and the celebration of Easter. First, Cardinal Stafford says, we are called to ask forgiveness and to offer penance for our sins.
The confession of sin calls for our understanding of our need for pardon and forgiveness, that wonderful invention, that word forgiveness with its prefix, that wonderful Anglo-Saxon indication of the anticipated gift that God gives to us in forgiving us our sins. So we need to ask for or to confess to God our need for his love by forgiving us, so that we might approach the great feast of feasts, the great Sunday of Sundays, which is Easter.
There are signs along the way that we have during the Lenten season, specific liturgical celebrations, specific acts that we as a whole church do. Can you talk a little bit about those, how the church lives this corporally?
The primary way, liturgically, would be the three great scrutinies that take place on the key Sundays of Lent for the catechumens, or as they are called after the first Sunday of Lent, the elect. Those scrutinies speak about the dignity of the human person as that dignity is revealed in the exercise of freedom, the person's freedom. And the person's freedom really is the foundation for which we describe ourselves as being made in the image and likeness of God. Recently I was asked by a Catholic gentleman, when did sin become a problem? Implying that, you know, for many today, sin is not a problem. And the period of Lent, I think, is really designed to help us to understand how sin has become a problem. That is, that we need to rediscover our accountability for what we do in life. That is, our accountability for the use of our freedom. Do we use our freedom in the pursuit of virtue? Do we use our freedom in pursuit of the good? And if we don't, we are not realizing, we are deforming ourselves. We are not recognizing the dignity that we have as human persons, as persons who truly have been made in the image and likeness of the triune God. And that likeness is primarily realized in our choice, in the way that we exercise our freedom. So Lent really is an exercise in trying to recapture the dignity that we have as created beings with freedom, and then redeemed human beings, that is, given the grace by the death of Christ, the expiatory death of Jesus, through the shedding of his blood, to recognize that what we do in our lives has implications not only in relationship to ourselves and to others, but in relationship to God, God who has called us to live for him as our end, that is, goodness and truth and beauty as our end, all of which are realized in their highest form in the mystery of the Trinitarian God. So Lent is a time to rediscover our dignity as human beings in the exercise of our freedom, and to take responsibility for the choices of our freedom. And some of those choices are against the good. Some of those choices are evil, and they are offensive not only to our own dignity, but insofar as they are offensive to our own dignity, they are offending the human order, that is, our relationship with other human beings, and above all, our relationship with the one who has called us to himself as our final end, and that is the triune God.
Leading up to Easter Sunday is the most intense week of prayer and liturgy in the year. Why are these liturgical events, the liturgical events of Holy Week, so important to the life of the Church?
Holy Week is very well known among us. In the Eastern Church, in the Orthodox Church, it's called the Great Week, like Sunday. Easter Sunday is this, the great Sunday in the Eastern Church. What Holy Week proclaims to us is that Christ is not a myth, and the Christian religion is not based upon a myth or a Gnostic mystery. It is based upon an historical human being, a man, a Jew, who lived at a certain time in kind of the backwaters of the Roman Empire, a man who made an extraordinary claim, who made an unprecedented claim. The Son of Man, he said, is greater than the Sabbath. You have heard that it was said that you are not to kill, but I say to you. So he claimed to be, this man, Jesus, claimed to be the Lord of the law and the Lord of the Sabbath. And his contemporaries saw him as being historically claiming, that is, in history, claiming to be equal to God. And there were consequences to that, concrete historical consequences. And Holy Week is a period of recalling those consequences. During Holy Week, we recall that Jesus historically claimed that he was going to give his life for the ransom of many, that is, those who wished to believe in him and his redemptive mission from his Father. That is, that he was sent by God in a unique way, not simply as another prophet, but as the image of God. He was, in his very consubstantial essence, God himself, that he was to give, in obedience to his Father, his life as a ransom for us. Now, Holy Week is the memory, the recall of those historical events, beginning with this man who is the incarnate Word made flesh. We begin Holy Week with Palm Sunday, in which we commemorate the historical event of this historical man, Jesus, who claimed to be God himself, the Son of God, made man. He came into Jerusalem riding on a simple donkey, on an ass, not upon a great stallion, and he came and was greeted by the people who eventually would call for his death a few days later. And then we go through that week of remembrance. We recall his raising of Lazarus from the dead. We recall the days leading up to the preparation for the last meal that he would have with his closest associates, the 12, the apostles. We recall the great meal in which he gave to us this gift, totally unexpected, this gift in which he became liquid for us, as it were. That is, he said, taking simple bread, this is my body given up for you. And then taking the cup of wine, this is the cup of my body that is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And then we commemorate that evening, Thursday evening, his going down the Kedron, into the Kedron Valley and up into the Garden of Olives, and his arrest, having been led there, the authorities having been led there by one of the traitorous apostles, the escape of the apostles, the fleeing of the apostles, and his trial. These are historical events that we've not myths. They are historical events, then leading to the scourging of Jesus Christ, the crowning of Jesus Christ as a full king, because that's what he claimed to be, a king, the king of the Jews. And then finally, the long passion in which his mother joined him at the foot of the cross and shared in that terrible event in which the Father's hand, he claimed in the poetry of Peggy, were tied. I am the only, the Father says on Good Friday, I am the only Father who was unable to bury his own Son. And so we weep over this historical event in historical memory. And then we remember Good Holy Saturday, in which God, after the death of Jesus, the Son of God, we recall the time that he spent in the tomb. And our faith calls us to believe that he descended into hell to preach the great good news to the souls there and to experience the mystery of hell. And then we recall the event that took place that changed all of history, and changes history until the end of time, changes all of creation, changes the whole universe. This man, Jesus, rose to become the new creation, the first fruits of the new creation, raised by God in his Holy Spirit. And now we live that creation in our faith.
Cardinal James Francis Stafford is the church's major penitentiary. He was talking to my colleague Chris Altieri.